A trip to the doctor, about halfway through cold and hungry. I have a good Vegas doctor. That's a rare being. Vegas is good at pole dancers. We import them and we grow them domestically. We have second and third generation pole dancers here. We're maggoty with pole dancers. My little girl, Moxie, took dance classes when she was 5 years old. Her teacher was Miss Cynthia. Cynthia is not her real name, but it's closer to a real name than Lexi, which is what you'd call the dancer at Taco Town when you were here last. Oh, and when you met your dancer, it wasn't really her first night, and you didn't really remind her of her brother. She doesn't have a brother, and if she does, she was still lying to you. Lying is more a part of her job than dancing. And she was everything you could want in a little girl dance class teacher. She was skilled, patient, kind, and friendly. Miss Cynthia bubbled. By and by, I got to talking to Miss Cynthia after one of her classes. I asked her how business was, and she said something like, "Good, but I still can't make it on just these classes. I have to keep my night job." She said she danced at one of the local shows. Then it hit me. Miss Cynthia works topless. In Vegas, we're all experts on topless. In my zip code, everyone is qualified to do breast exams. There's the fancy Jubilee show, which, until it closed in early 2016, was the topless show you'd take your mom to, with costumes that you'd find on special edition Barbie dolls. And there's Taco Town. I think the real name of the place is Talk of the Town, which you, well, might not take your mom to, unless HBO is doing a late-night documentary on your family. And there's everything in between. Women in Vegas are fully nude from the age of 18 on, and then when they turn 21, they put thongs on. The reason for that is you can't have pussy and alcohol in the same club. Not unless your naked vagina club is grandfathered in, which is a combination of words that gets a lot of Google Images hits. A young woman dancer in Vegas can make a lot more money if there's alcohol around and her breasts are out than if there's no alcohol around. But if there's no alcohol around, then she damn well better have everything on display. She can't legally work at a club with alcohol, where she'd just be topless, until she turns 21. So if you want to see bottomless in Vegas, it's only going to be legal if she's between 18 and 21. That's creepy to me, and I'm the one who was okay with my daughter taking dance lessons in Vegas. I could tell Miss Cynthia was over 21, and from the way she moved, her height, and her natural dancer body type, I figured Miss Cynthia was at the top of the topless pecking order. I guessed she worked the classy show. Yeah, but some of the moms don't like to know that. But some of the moms do like to know that, and all of the dads. So 5-year-old Mox is being trained in pole dancing. We turn out great pole dancers in Vegas. Doctors, we're not as good at, but after living here for almost 2 decades, I finally found a good doctor. He works with one of those concierge doctor scams. We pay him extra, so he actually gives us appointments. He's a smart guy and funny and honest and perfectly discreet. You'll never find out from him that I have herpes. He's a pro. I was over 7 weeks in a Cray Ray's hardcore cold and hungry diet, and I dropped about half the weight I'd planned to drop. My whole life was changing. I was changing the way I dressed, anticipating the move into something other than XXXL work shirts and big boy jeans. I wanted to cut my hair and stop dyeing it. I wanted short salt and pepper hair. Tom Jones suggested I go with short gray hair. It worked for him, but he's Tom Jones. A pile of dog shit would look good on his head. I'm Penn Jillette. Pussy and the Vermeer would look good on my head. It was amazing how my life was changing with my eating. Correlation is not causation, and it's more likely the changes were all caused by something I'm not aware of. But with my change in diet came changes in personality, in mood, in desires. Being a lost vegan was changing everything. Easy and I were even thinking of buying a new house. We wanted to move out of the slammer, the house that's been featuring a zillion bullshit celebrity stories on me. It was a big, huge, nut house of bright colors. This house was me. And we were thinking of moving someplace else, someplace where the children could have friends. When I built the slammer, I wanted to be isolated from the world. Aside from doing the Penn & Teller show at the Rio, everything I needed and wanted was in my compound. But then I had children. And as a family, we didn't want to be isolated. Children want to have friends nearby. But I wasn't open to a new house, not until I was on Cray Ray's nutty diet. I woke up happier. I lived happier. I was nicer. Was it just not carrying more extra pounds my daughter weighed around with me all the time? Or was this diet making me happier in other ways? Was it making me more open to change? I don't know. I showed up at the doctor's office. The nurse took my weight. She came out with 255 with clothes on, which was lower than my fancy Withings scale said. I'll take it. It might be part of concierge doctoring services that their scale takes a few pounds off. She took my blood pressure, which was lower than my fancy Withings cuff said, but still not low enough. It was the first time in 10 years that she'd taken my blood pressure without wincing, and this was with me no longer taking two of my heavy meds. She smiled. I was proud. My doctor came in, looked at me, and gave his medical opinion. "Wow!" I said, this visit isn't really a medical visit. I just came in to brag about my weight loss. "Yeah, I gathered that when you texted about the appointment. It's not a checkup and you have no complaints." "Correct, but I've lost a lot of weight." "You sure have. Neat, huh?" "Yep, very neat." "Okay, goodbye." I guess that's the way it should have gone, but it went longer. He asked me how I was feeling, and I gave him all the cult stuff. I felt great. I was happier. I had a metric shit ton of energy. My bowels moved great. My arthritis was better. My dick got harder and looked bigger. TSA pre-flight check was going faster. This diet was amazing. All hail Cray-Ray! Doc had had other patients lose as much weight as I had in a short period of time, but they'd always felt terrible. They had no energy and felt really sick. These other thinner people weren't happy and bragging. They were sad and complaining. He said the other fat fucks were doing a low-carb diet of some kind. I wasn't doing low carbs. As a matter of fact, Cray-Ray doesn't even use the word carbs. He uses the word starches. Yes, starches are carbs, but that's like saying a square is a rectangle. He said that as though it meant that it was stupid to say a square is a rectangle. That's Cray-Ray's definition of stupid. My definition of stupid is dropping my cock into a hot blow dryer. My guru is on a higher plane. I couldn't wait to take my shirt off. I wanted to take my pants off and show my doc how much bigger my cock looked when not nestled in a mound of Crisco. But he didn't need to see my dick. Okay, he wasn't even really willing to see my dick. I tried. He thought my heart sounded great, my lungs sounded great, and I seemed happy. I had no complaints. He had other exam rooms that were full of patients who were really suffering. He seemed to not really have time to celebrate my happy cock. Fuck him! My blood pressure was still higher than we wanted. I was still jamming at about 170. That's really bad for a normal human, but really good for me or a fat giraffe. And this was with two of my heavy, heavy drugs gone, but I still had to get lower. He told me the system I was using to check my blood pressure at home, which included Mox jumping up and down on my lap while Z blasted video games on his iPad, might not be totally accurate. He said that keeping the cuff on my arm while the children played on me and testing 10 times in a row was giving me higher readings. I promised to move my fancy BP cuff from the family room to my office, that I would take my blood pressure just once per sitting, and that I would meditate before I took it. Yep, I was going to meditate. Meditate? Yes, and fuck you in the neck. While I was still a fat fuck, my buddy Sam Harris had been trying to get me to meditate. I read his book, Waking Up, A Guide to Spirituality Without Religion. He's such a good writer that I get sucked into his world. I finished an advanced copy of the book in the middle of the night in the bathtub. I couldn't sleep. My mind was blown. I wrote to Sam Harris and to Greg Gutfeld, Richard Dawkins, and Lawrence Krauss about Sam's book and how it was changing my life. Greg said my emails about Sam's book seemed like they were, quote, haikus written by a person with Tourette's syndrome, end quote. I was gone, Daddy, gone. The idea of the self and the I and being in the now and being spiritual without religion made me just nuts. I have a very strong sense of I. I do feel I'm a homunculus recklessly driving this big old body from behind my eyes. Sam gave me another way to see things. I was completely on board the Sam Harris Atheist Spiritual Express bus. I couldn't sleep. Dawn came up over the Vegas Strip, and on my phone came an email from a mutual friend of Bob Dylan's with a link to Dylan doing a version of a Sinatra song. I listened to Full Moon and Empty Arms, done in a different kind of world-weary voice from Frank's, and a 5-piece band playing the orchestra arrangements in the cold bathtub with no sleep to soothe my brain, and, well, if Bob Dylan was recording songs made famous by Frank Sinatra, then maybe Penn, or this living thing in this exact moment, could be spiritual. Maybe Sam Harris had written a BB gun of a book that could shoot my eye out. As dawn turned to morning and spiritual Vegas became the fucking desert, I get emails back from Lawrence and Dawkins, and over the next few weeks, some of Sam's mind-bending fell away. But Sam is such a good writer that while I was reading the book, and for a few weeks afterwards, I was completely on the spiritual bandwagon. But as I got further away from having taken in his words on my iPad, it seemed that the experience he refers to as spiritual became more and more like Sam just loved LSD. That's certainly valid, but I'm not sure it's really spiritual. It also seems that his form of meditation is built to fix problems I don't have. He writes a lot about needing to get rid of the voice that's in his head, the sense of self that makes him crazy. I like the voices in my head. My sense of self gives me a sense of self. I like it. By going to India and not talking for months, why talk in India? Those fucks can't understand you anyway, and dropping acid, he lost the sense of self that had been making him nuts. His book is about how to do that. It's fun to read, and it may be wonderfully crazy in the bathtub in the middle of the night. But maybe I don't want to do that. If you're reading this book and you're not overweight at all, you don't have to join a cult and lose weight. As a matter of fact, if you're fucking obese, you don't have to join a cult and lose weight. You bought my book, and that's it. You don't owe me jack shit. Go to India and drop acid for all I care. Sam Harris is just a hippie. He's as hippie as they come. He's more of a hippie than me, and that's saying something. And Sam, the hippie, gets accused by Ben Affleck of being Islamophobic. Oh, the joy I felt in my spell checker not recognizing Affleck or Islamophobic. Just for the record, my spell checker recognizes both Elvis and arachnophobia. You know why that is? Because Elvis is really a superstar, and spiders are really fucking scary. Being Muslimphobic would be a really bad thing. That would be like being homophobic. Also in my spell checker, but not a very pleasant word. It always seems like it means fear of same, and that's just not what it is. Homophobic has come to mean fear of people who are gay. That would be like Muslimphobic, meaning a fear of a kind of person, and that would be awful. But Islam is not a kind of person. Islam is an idea. Islam is a religion, and religions are not people. Ideas are not people. All ideas must be attacked all the time in order to find out what parts of them are true. We must respect people, but that doesn't mean we have to respect ideas that aren't true. I don't even care whether the ideas are dangerous or not. I don't care if Islam does mean peace. I don't believe Muhammad was any sort of prophet. I don't believe there are any real prophets. That idea is wrong. And if I say that idea is wrong, that doesn't mean I have an irrational fear of people who believe that idea. It means I think the idea is wrong, wrong, wrong. And I'm a bit scared of spiders. Sam is a hippie peacenik who's not preaching hate. He's preaching dropping acid and not talking to people in India. So I decided to give meditation another try in order to get my blood pressure down and get back to the business of losing weight so my dick would look bigger. Sam writes about all the wondrous upsides of meditation. He talks a lot about relieving stress. I don't feel I have much stress. I'm not a worrier, but I have high blood pressure, so maybe I'm a secret worrier. Maybe I worry without knowing it. Maybe there's some low blood pressure bliss that I'm missing. Sam sent me a recording of him talking me through a guided mindfulness meditation. I was trying to do it every day before the show. I would go into my dressing room and get caught up on all my email and then close the door, put on headphones, and do what Sam told me to do. Again, I was doing that when I was a fat fuck, and I kind of liked it okay, but it didn't do that much for me. Then I got busy again, and getting myself to fall away fell away. But now I was down 50 pounds and off some of the BP medicine, and I was happier and stronger, and what the hell? It's supposed to help blood pressure. So I give Sam 10 minutes and get myself on the bus to Nirvana, and then slip on the BP cuff and see how I did. I love things like blood pressure measurement because there are no subjective rules. You're allowed to cheat all you want. There's no judgment call. You can do anything you want to get as low as you want. One of the many things I hate about magic is all the judgment calls. Yes, you can certainly be smoother as a juggler and make the tricks look better. But if you're not bent over looking like you're chasing a duck while you pick up the props you dropped, if the balls are in the air, you're kind of doing the trick okay. When you're learning magic, there are all these judgment calls. I'm learning this new false shuffle called the truffle shuffle. It looks like the deck is being shuffled normally, but all the cards stay in the same order in the deck. It's a shuffle that does no shuffling. That's a useful technique in Magic. Now, the first few steps of learning this shuffle are just juggling. I have to do the move without the cards falling on the floor or changing order. I can check that. I can work on that. The hard step is the next step, the most important step, to make it look natural. When I was juggling, in possibly passing 9 clubs with Mike Motion when I was 20, we did not want to look natural. We wanted to look as unnatural as fucking a male rhino in a skirt. That's the point of learning an amazing juggling trick. But in Magic, the hardest moves are supposed to look natural. So you work for years to look like you're doing nothing. That's way unnatural. Taking your blood pressure is juggling. You can do any cheat you want to get it as low as possible, and that's your reading. So maybe I didn't have to diet at all. Maybe I could just stay fat and just drop acid in India with Sam Harris and bring my BP down to a healthy level. Every night, I've been taking a bunch of analgesics for the arthritis in my thumbs. The hardest physical part of the show for me is when I display the .357 Magnum bullet between my index finger and thumb. It just kills me. I try to tell people that the arthritis came from how much I practice juggling and sleight of hand, but that's not true. Then I lie to myself and figure it's genetic, but that's never true. When I take analgesics, I take a lot. I figure I'm twice the size of a normal person, so I need twice the dose. And then I figure doses are low on the label, so maybe 3 times will do. My doc told me don't take Advil. It's bad for your blood pressure. When he told me, I was in BP denial. So when the aspirin ran out, I moved to Advil and was taking 4 times the dose and doing it every night to get my thumbs to hold a fucking bullet to shoot my business partner in the face. Then I started losing weight like a freak and my thumbs didn't hurt as much. But I was still taking the Advil out of habit. All of a sudden, I cared about my health. So I asked the doc if there was any way the Advil would be bringing up my blood pressure. Well, you stupid fucking fat fuck. It could be that it is, since I told you it would, and it says it will on the fucking label, and you're overdosing on it like a fucking asshole. Is not what my doctor said. He said, yes, by maybe 20 points. Stop taking Advil. So I stopped the overdose of Advil and went to the underdose of aspirin. Amazingly, with the weight loss, I hardly needed it for my thumbs. I ate a metric shit ton of grains and took my blood pressure in my quiet office after meditating instead of while children were jumping on me. My idea of meditation is listening to the calming ding of my computer getting messages and thinking about what I'm going to write in this book when I'm supposed to be thinking about breathing. And still my blood pressure, with no Advil, more greens, and a little quiet, was 134 over 74. So there. I've tried a few more ways to meditate. I like Sam's recording, but I started to memorize it. Then this company called Headspace.com started advertising on Penn Sunday School. So I was being paid to be mindful. I found that if I didn't think the word meditate, but changed it to be mindful, I didn't feel as silly. Now I'm doing 10 minutes a day of Headspace.com, and I can't memorize it because it changes every day and is goals. And I feel like I'm starting to get it. Sam told me I would have to start and stop a few times before it caught. I'm back doing it again, and it feels like it's sticking. My BP is down, but I'm not sure that's the mindfulness because my body continues to heal and get better from my diet. But it might be giving me more control. I don't know. But it's nice to sit and play with my head a bit. Sam and Headspace.com are interesting and fun. But I think the BP fix is all cray-ray.